south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, back in the saddle again with my pretty decent equipment, audio equipment, that is. When I'm on the road traveling, doing seminars and such, I have a nice little portable recording outfit. Though it doesn't quite stack up to the professional stuff, which is kind of bulky and you don't want to haul that around with you. So anyway, met some great, very smart people at the seminar. The cool thing is we're all like-minded, you know. So there's so much to connect with and talk about. And of course, all kinds of topics came up at our many little dinner, breakfasts, and lunch get-togethers. One of the main topics being, of course, the COVIDian crap and how people dealt with it or didn't deal with it. Turns out everyone had a vaccine injury story or two. Not necessarily happened to them, but someone in the family or friends. Just recently, one of the ladies told me her father, who's a doctor, was such a vax proponent. He kind of browbeat everyone in the family and all the people he knew to get vaxxed. He was one of those guys in the early days who'd back off a few paces when talking to someone if he heard or was suddenly told they hadn't been vaxxed or if they weren't wearing a mask. Anyway, this guy, this doc, got his second vax and went blind for 2 weeks. It's a shame that something like that has to happen before the truth sinks in, which, of course, many smart people and skeptics knew all along. Yeah, you know, early on, practically all the docs in the States and down here in Latin America, too, believed everything they read in the scientific journals and what idiots like Dr. Fauci said. They never looked at the fine print. They never investigated or wanted to know that all those scientific studies were tainted. There was a huge conflict of interest. Practically all the big scientific studies were funded by Fauci and the NIH and Big Pharma. Yep, it pays to be a skeptic, most certainly when it came to COVID. Which brings us to this email that just came in from an expat insider, repeat offender. This is from Miss C. She says, "Dear Johnny, here's something for everyone to consider. A dear friend of mine who I worked with at a trauma hospital called me this weekend. He's 49 years old, handsome, strong, and fit. He's been at the hospital in the engineering department for 15 years with great benefits, etc. And a health plan with mandatory jabs, which he did enthusiastically take. Hey, it's the Seattle mentality. Well, I told him 5 years ago when I left the hospital that the job there was a soul sucker. Life is short, and with his skill as a lifelong master locksmith, he could get a job anywhere in the world. His lifelong girlfriend also had a travel-friendly job, so she could get the hell out of Dodge, too. But, you know, some people. I've been yelling at him during our bi-yearly conversations to take the leap. Get the hell out of Dodge while you can. There are other ways to live. Especially when a couple like that have so many skills, no debt, and some cash saved up. I say, go, go, go. She said, I tried to light a fire under him. I was a cheerleader with pom-poms. But, you know, talk is cheap, and to make the leap, that takes some real effort. He wanted to make sure he had enough stashed for retirement, so he kept plugging along dutifully. And at his age, retirement is 13 years away. But I just found out this weekend he's in a hospice with less than a month to live. Today I just found out he's getting his last will and testament together. Then Miss C ends by quoting German philosopher Goethe, quote, whatever you can do or dream, you can. Begin it. Begin it now. Be bold, unquote. All right, Miss C, thanks for that and those sad thoughts. You certainly aren't the only one having them. Yep, so the vax injury stories just keep piling up, don't they? In fact, I've been hearing so many of them lately, it's making me sick. By the way, I just read an article that said a tipping point has been reached. As of January 2023, more people have died from COVID who were vaxxed than who've died while unvaxxed. That should be the headline on every media page, but it won't be. Oh, and speaking of woke American idiots traveling through Latin America, I met two perfect examples. Very smart, but without knowledge. Brain-dead idiots. I met this pair of New York wokesters whilst on a one-hour taxi drive from my hotel to the airport. Yep, you heard it right. I was stuck in a taxi with two blathering, spit-bubbling wokesters for an entire hour. I felt like jumping out the window, but the guy was driving way too fast. So here's how it went down. The minivan picked me up at my hotel. There were two Asian-American ladies in the back seat. I'd guess they were in their late 20s. And you know, when you're stuck with someone in a confined space like that, you talk a little bit, find out what the other person's doing, why they came, a little bit about their life, you know, small talk. Well, by about 2 minutes, without even talking, I figured out I was probably stuck with a couple of wokesters. They both had a mask wadded up in their shirt pockets, just in case of plague, I guess. But at least they weren't wearing them. And believe me, by the time we got to the airport, my conclusions about America were reaffirmed. There's no hope. America's deep in the dumpster. There's just no hope. The toilet's already been flushed. So anyway, naturally, it started out with where are you from, what do you do kind of thing. The usual gringo questions. They told me they were both architects based in New York, Manhattan. They told me it was their first trip to El Salvador, their first trip to Central America. Now, being that they were both architects, I figured there was a possibility of having a pretty high-level conversation. Boy, was I wrong. By the way, they never let up once on their cell phone addictions. It was as if their phones were grafted to their hands. They said they were just on vacation, checking things out. Now, as for me, I didn't tell them why I was there at all. I figured since they were demonstrating they were wokesters, the less said, the better. There's no point in trying to change the mind of a wokester. They've got their religion and they're married to it. So anyway, even in the first 5 minutes, the conversation started out pretty rough. Because you see, it turns out the driver of that little minibus had a Bitcoin sticker on his dashboard and a QR code for the Lightning and the Chivo apps, which means he would take the local funny money, which is US dollars, and Bitcoin for the trip. Now, the interesting thing was the driver, a Salvadorian. He spoke pretty good English. Not great, pretty good, meaning he's probably been deported a few times. Though I didn't quiz him about it, he said he'd been to Los Angeles a few times. That means he entered the States illegally and was deported a few times. Oh, by the way, when I first got into this guy's taxi, I said, this is a pretty nice new van. What year is it? He said, it's a year 2022, and it's mine, mio. I said, really? You own it? He said, yep. I looked at the odometer, and he already had 44,000 clicks on it, 44,000 kilometers. So he was making money, especially at $40 a pop to go from the hotel to the airport. Here's the logistics of it. From the beach area on the Pacific side, where all the gringos and expats usually stay, what they call El Tunco and Bitcoin Beach, that strip there, to the airport's about an hour drive. So $40, I don't know. Sounds like gringo prices, but hey, they use that gringo funny money called the US dollar, you know. So anyway, right off the bat, I started making a little small talk with the driver in English. I said, so do you get a lot of people paying you in Bitcoin or using the Chivo or Lightning wallet? He said, the locals, not much at all, but I don't pick up many locals. It's almost all these gringos and expats I drive around. And that's when one of those lady architects in the back seat chimed in. She obviously did not like Bitcoin or crypto at all. By the way, I was in the front seat with the driver and the two ladies were in the back seat. Anyway, she leaned forward, holding her iPhone in hand, and started reading off it. She says, it says right here, Salvadoranian people don't like using Bitcoin. Only about 10% of them are using it, and they don't like the idea that President Bukele put the country on the Bitcoin standard. Now, I didn't reply, but I said to the driver, what do you think about that? He said, I can tell you that here, where all the development's going on at Bitcoin Beach and all the little resorts all along the Pacific Ocean, he said, everywhere you see construction, people are using it. He said, in the capital, San Salvador, too. But in the rest of the country, he said, not much. Then he turned and looked at the ladies for a second and said, that's just temporary, that's for now. All of that will be changing for sure starting next September because the Salvador Department of Education has mandated that every grade school in the country teaches a Bitcoin and cryptocurrency course. He said the young kids are just dying to use it, but they don't have much information. They have to be trained up. And as for the old folks, naturally, it's too new for them. They don't want to change. But the young people are dying to get in. They say, no, there are big job opportunities with the new technologies. So he said to the ladies, come back in a year and ask me the same question. I'm sure you'll get a completely different answer. Now, I could tell by the look on their faces, they didn't quite like his answer. And one of them snapped back, what if Bitcoin goes to zero? Then it would be all for nothing. That's when I had to say, I had to jump in. I said, you know, Bitcoin's been pronounced dead by the lamestream media at least 100 times since I've been in it. And it seems like the only people that are against it these days are the people who had a chance to get in early but didn't. Yep, I said lots of sour grapes out there, truckloads of sour grapes. I knew right then and there I'd made a couple of enemies. So what else is new? And then the subject came up regarding that evil dictator President Bukele. The man who dared to round up 60,000 misguided, innocent until proven guilty young men with gang tattoos on their faces. And boy, those two wokester architects in the back seat sure thought that was a miscarriage of justice. They both had something to say about that. Pretty predictable, too. They were talking about the human rights violations, lack of representation, lack of due process. Then the lady went to her iPhone again and read off some statistics about how the rest of the world thinks Bukele is a tyrant. She said, you know, all the developed countries think he's nothing but a dictator. And while she said that, I was looking at the driver's face. He was rolling his eyes. I guess he didn't want to say too much because he didn't want to piss off his fares. And I knew it wasn't worth the effort to get into it with her. But the cab driver did have his moment of glory. He said to her, did you know our president has a 91% approval rate from the people? Then she said, is that right? What about the other 9%? He said, you mean the 9% that's in prison? Boy, that shut her up for a while. And believe me, the rest of the trip was sort of frosty and cold. Oh, and by the way, here's something that's worth mentioning. You know, election times are rolling around here in Central America. And every time you see a candidate highlighted in the newspapers, yep, they still have newspapers, and on the internet, they'll lay out their political platform, you know, what they want to do if they get in. It's quite obvious that the number one item in everyone's political platform, their top priority, is crime prevention. In fact, every candidate running for office has three top priorities. Though it's really just lip service and sugar for the masses, they never really get any progress. Those priorities are number one, crime, number two, healthcare, number three, education. And of course, they're miserable failures at all of those. But the point is, the number one priority on a political platform is crime and crime prevention. It's the same for every politician here in Latin America. That is, except for politicians running for mayoral slots and such. In El Salvador, they don't have crime on their list of priorities because guess what? That little problem's been taken care of. Oh, and by the way, it seems to be the only country in the world where it has been taken care of. But you knew that already, right? All right, another email. This is from John. He says, greetings, Johnny. I'm embarrassed to say I'm a couple of months behind on your show, but I haven't given up the dream and I'm still an expat wannabe. He says, I've been listening on and off for 11 years now, but I kind of dropped the ball at the beginnings of COVID and have listened sporadically since the scamdemic started. I usually catch up by listening to two or three shows in a row. He says, I'm enclosing a news article for you. You've probably already seen it, but I figured I'd forward it to you anyway, just in case. Then he says, let me explain. One of the great things about your show, Johnny, is the quality and accuracy of your information. You clued us in to Panama's relationship with China probably about 5 years ago now, give or take. And so even though moving to Panama is far from my ideal Plan B destination, I keep an eye on the developments there and follow some of the news concerning that particular country. In fact, I actually have friends, he says, who made the move to nearby Costa Rica, got an amazing piece of property on top of a mountain, and practically got killed when a dirt roadway disintegrated under them after a heavy rain. He says, the fact they've got a heavy-duty, oversized SUV was the only reason they're still alive today. More recently, he says, my friends have started to be targeted and terrorized by gangbangers who prey on rich gringos during their trips away and trips into town. As a result, they've decided to pack up and head back to the United States after a couple of years of all that. By the way, that SUV accident, that nasty spill into the ravine, caused his wife to require extensive spinal surgery and metal implants. Of course, this could happen anywhere in Latin America that involves winding roads and mountain retreats. Just to let you know, just saying. Anyway, I look forward to catching up on some of your shows. Signed, John. All right, thanks for that, John. By the way, I saw that article that you forwarded to me, but it's worth repeating some of the highlights here. So thanks for reminding me. All you guys and gals still thinking about having that Plan B in Panama? Listen up. This is from an article just a couple of days ago, March 25th, in the Diplomat magazine. It's all about the different Chinese investments in Panama and how they seem to be taking over and squeezing out everyone else. So I'll list just a few of them. Number one, China's established a Confucius Institute at the University of Panama that sends 30 Panamanians to mainland China every year on scholarships. The Chinese also donated millions of dollars worth of military gear, including 6,000 bulletproof vests and helmets, to Panama's security forces. Now, you gotta wonder, why would they do that? It's awful strange, huh? Here's the catch, or one of the catches. Every one of those 6,000 bulletproof vests came with the People's Liberation Army of China colors, and not those of Panama's uniforms or flag. In other words, if you see one of these guys on the streets, you'd think he was from the Chinese military. He's got the colors and the logo. So, as it turns out, if the Panama government wants to have their colors on these vests and not the Chinese, they'll have to have all 6,000 of them re-sewn and reworked. You think they got the extra money to spend, or are they just going to let all the cops run around looking like they're members of the Chinese Communist Police Force? Number three, did you know that the Chinese government is sending Panamanian security forces, cops, to training institutions in China and providing gifts to Panamanian police units? Donations which the Panama government gladly accepts. Oh, and did you know that in telecommunications, the Chinese tech giants that have been banned in first world countries like Huawei, ZTE, and Xiaomi are all well established in Panama? Oh, and by the way, in the city of Cologne, it's a free trade zone, the Chinese have donated 300 security cameras. And they've outfitted the main international airport, Tucumán Airport in Panama City, with face recognition and thermal sensing cameras. Which is another reason, as of about a year and a half ago, I refused to change planes in Panama. I'll enter and exit Panama through a land border because they don't have facial recognition at land borders. At least, not yet. But I won't fly in anymore. Oh, and as far as finance, the Bank of China conducts commercial banking in Panama now. They have the China Development Bank, the China Export-Import Bank, and ICBE. They're all licensed to conduct international operations in Panama. And since 2021, they've violated a number of Panama banking regulations and money laundering laws. And get this, they were handed the biggest fine ever given to a bank in Panama. I wonder if they made them pay it. So anyway, bottom line is an overwhelming wave of money from China is entering Panama. And you know who's benefiting. The politicians making those deals. That's why you'll rarely hear official or media criticism of Beijing coming out of Panama. Meanwhile, according to this article, over the last 5 years or so, the Chinese have been hijacking the Panama banking sector and the economy solely for their long-term benefit, to the obvious detriment of the country. And according to this article, it's no longer a level playing field. The Chinese already have an overwhelming advantage. Oh, and I think I mentioned before that the Chinese own all the property at both ends of the Panama Canal. In other words, if the international shit ever hit the fan, and it will eventually, you know, they could cut off a quarter of the world's supply chain of goods. So, are you still thinking about having that plan B in Panama? Do you speak Mandarin? Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Well, even before we knew about all the Chinese infiltration into that country, personally, I always thought it was a bad idea to live there permanently. Simply because during an all-out war, it's the only strategic spot in all of Latin America. In other words, it's the only spot in all of Latin America that has nukes pointed at it. You can bet on it. Just in case, you know? Pleasant thought, huh? And in other China slash Latin American news, did you know that Taiwan must vacate its embassy in Honduras within 30 days? Yep, they've been kicked out. That move came after socialist president of Honduras, President Omar Castro, severed ties with Taiwan in favor of mainland communist China. In a bid, the president said, for more investment and jobs. But here's what you didn't know. Taiwan's embassy in Honduras was the second biggest embassy they had after the U.S. embassy. In a press release, the Honduran Foreign Ministry says, we must be open to the big projects that only mainland China can give us. That, after mainland China offered to invest some $10 billion in Honduras, which would be a boon to local workers, according to the press release, naturally. Here's something else you didn't know. Taiwan was funding about 1,000 scholarships for Honduran students to go to school in Taiwan. And now that Honduras has cut ties with Taiwan, the foreign ministry announced that those student scholarships would last till the end of the current term, and then they would be provided one-way tickets home. Kind of a dirty trick to play on those hapless students, huh? So, as far as I'm concerned, a plan B in Honduras is looking less and less viable. All right, switching gears. You know, lots of expats and gringos who come down are a bit older. I'd say the average age for an expat coming down here to live permanently, man or woman, is around 55 years old. Sure, the age range is all over the place, but I'd say on average around 55. And that means most of them being American are 5 at 50. That means they're taking at least 5 prescription medications. That's a sad statistic you've heard me mention before. Though I'm not saying gringos and expats who come down here are average Americans. They certainly aren't. They're a lot smarter, more adventurous, and astute than the average American for sure. But I can't help but notice, though, that most of them upon arrival are overweight and out of shape. Though coming down here and having a plan B, that's usually part of the game plan. Let's get that health and fitness trip going and get back in shape. However, with practically every single expat insider seminar I've ever had, people attend who are physically compromised. People with canes and walkers, with artificial knees and hips. I've even had quadriplegics and paraplegics attend my expat insider seminars. Now, I'm bringing this up because I just read an article, a research article, done by the University of Cuenca that shows that 85% of the streets in Latin America are inaccessible to people with physical impairments. That's what it says here, translated into English. 85% of the streets are considered inaccessible to people with physical impediments. So that's not good news at all for people using canes, walkers, wheelchairs, etc. In fact, the researchers in this study examined 214 different sidewalks in Cuenca, Ecuador, amongst others. They concluded that none of them complied with the INEN 2241 standard, which dictates the proper conditions that sidewalks must be in to allow people in wheelchairs or other mobility aids to navigate. You could see the results yourself. They were published in a magazine called Science Direct. Oh, and by the way, the results were published with an interactive display at public.tableau.com, which shows the maps of accessibility of streets in Cuenca, Ecuador for different mobility conditions. So it would be kind of like an obstacle course app you can get that topographically maps out the streets of the city. I always said it would be a great idea to have an app for speed bumps or tumulos too. That way you can plan your trip, especially if you're driving at night, so that you don't have your frame damaged or oil plug torn out of the bottom of your car. Always a risk when you hit one of those things at high speed. Those tumulos or speed bumps can really wreck your day. When they first construct them out of asphalt or concrete, they paint them with fluorescent white or yellow coloring, but after a while, so many cars bottom out, the paint gets scraped right off. That means at night, they're really dangerous. That's why I always tell people, when you're thinking about buying a car, get an SUV. A mini SUV is just fine. But as for a regular car, forget about it. Spend the extra grand or two, get a mini SUV. Or pickup. You'll save yourself a lot of torture and grief. But I digress as usual. We were talking about street inaccessibility for people with physical impediments. Well, on top of that, there's two other problems. One is that there are lots of cobblestone streets because, well, that's the historic nature of these old towns. They keep them that way for the tourists. The fact is, there was a time in the 60s and 70s, even 80s, when there weren't many tourists in Latin America. And when those cobblestone roads started cracking and coming apart, they just paved right over them with asphalt or concrete. But now, with all the tourists coming in, they want to see the old towns the way they used to be in the colonial days. So there's been a big move in the last 10 or 15 years to rip up the asphalt and the concrete and put down the cobblestone again. The rustic look, just like the old days. In fact, it's kind of an art. There are crews specifically trained to repair cobblestone streets. They do a hell of a job, too, and it looks beautiful. Though it can be murder on cars, motorcycles, and pedestrians. And forget about it if you've got a cane or a walker. In fact, I've spoken to a couple of emergency room doctors on the tourist trail in Latin America. They'll tell you that drunk gringos with twisted or broken ankles are some of the most common sights they see in the emergency room. And even though I rarely drink, I've taken a few spills myself. In fact, a couple of years back at one of my expat insider boots on the ground walking tours, I twisted my ankle, fell down, kept going, kept plugging along. And after a week or so, when it wasn't feeling much better, I went to the doc and ended up with a cast on my foot for 2 months. Oh, then there's that other problem of missing utility caps and manhole covers. Now, of course, I've yet to meet a gringo who walked into an open manhole. But an awful lot of cars get their suspension screwed up that way. And as far as those utility covers, you know what I'm talking about. Every so often, you'll see one of those things on the sidewalk. It's a metal cap that covers an electrical utility hookup or water valve that leads from the street into the house. Well, you know, a lot of those things are made out of brass, and brass has value, so people steal them in the dead of the night, and most times they never get replaced. In fact, I've got a couple of pictures in my PowerPoint from my Expat Insider Seminar showing three or four missing sidewalk utility covers all in one shot at a stretch. So my advice, if you're walking through town, look down a lot. Oh, and the other problem is things grow so fast down here, oftentimes a tree will sprout up next to a sidewalk, eventually causing a sidewalk slab to heave or break. It won't be a level surface anymore, and if you don't look out, you'll trip on the edge of the next slab. I must have caught the edge of one of those things 1,000 times. Not enough to fall on my ass, but man, if I had a cane or a walker. But back to this research paper. It says, our research shows that a person using crutches or a wheelchair cannot access or maneuver in 4 out of 5 Latin American streets. And the older and more historic the area happens to be, the harder it will be to maneuver. Which begs the question, are you considered disabled if you're a drunk or clueless gringo? Maybe. However, do remember, if you go into a first world franchise like a Starbucks, Costco, Walmart, or Ace Hardware, that business, the parking lot, and all the sidewalks that surround it will be built to first world handicapped access standards. I understand you can't say handicapped anymore in the first world or you'll get canceled. Then what are you supposed to put on a scorecard if you've got a handicap in golf or bowling? Do you tell the other guys in your foursome you just suck by 4 strokes? Man, I'm so glad I don't live up in the first world. So anyway, bottom line is the more you hang out on the Gringo Tourist Trail, which is not recommended, the more handicapped accessible the buildings will be. Oh, and remember, another indication that the wokeness virus has not hit Latin America in any way whatsoever is the fact that people still use the word menos válido. You see it labeled on signs in parking lots everywhere. That would be a handicapped parking spot. Though the literal translation is less than valid. Menos means less, válido means valid. So in other words, a person with a cane, a wheelchair, a walker, whatever, is tagged down here in Latin America with the label less than valid. Now, I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is if the toxic wokesters were in charge like they are up in the States, Europe, Canada, and Australia, the word menos válido would have disappeared a long time ago from the lexicon and from all the parking lot signs too. Though just recently I have noticed in newer buildings and newer parking lots, the parking lot signs for pregnant women and handicapped people are no longer spelled out in letters. They're stick figures now.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.